Welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Craig Faye.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And this week on the podcast, it is audience choice time. We did our Ben Affleck.
Why? I don't know.
I don't know. I think we were at a bar when we came up with that.
Yeah.
And we were like, we're going to do the Ben Affleck things. And you guys voted, and it was Gone Girl, like by a landslide.
That's so funny.
Yeah. You guys really wanted to hear us talk about Gone Girl. And we are, of course, we couldn't tackle this just by ourselves.
We needed a book girly.
We needed somebody here. So we are joined today by a very special guest, hilarious stand-up comedian and TV writer, Rachel Manson's here. Oh. Thank you so much for coming.
Hello, my friends.
Hello.
I didn't realize this was part of a Ben Affleck, like... project you were doing.
Well, yes, we had pitched many Ben Affleck movies to our Patreon. Like what we had Armageddon, Gone Girl,
and The Accountant.
And The Accountant. And this.
Why?
Because we love punishment.
Are you okay?
We love punishment. We want it.
Oh my God. Those are. Okay.
They're tough ones, yeah. Whenever we do have a guest on, we always like to ask, like, what's your relationship with this movie? Like, when did you...
I thought you were going to be like, what's your relationship with Ben Affleck? And I was like, girl.
We do not have enough time.
We don't have the time because the relationship is none. That guy is a bag of walking sand. What is happening to that man, good Lord? I mean, like, I'm glad he's on a yacht with a beautiful babe, but... I don't know if he's a good actor. I can't figure it out.
I actually think he played...
I think he must be. He simply must be.
Well, yeah, like, I think he did a good job with this role, although I didn't really know if it was Ben Affleck playing Ben Affleck is my whole issue with the whole movie. I was like, I feel like this is just him.
I want to be very clear. Ben Affleck did an excellent job in this movie because he was perfectly cast as Ben Affleck to play Ben Affleck.
Gotcha.
He is very, like, perfectly cast. That was actually, I have some problems with the casting in this film.
Ooh.
I'll say it. I'll say what everyone else on the internet already said. I'll be that brave. But I do think Ben Affleck was a perfect choice.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
So had you seen, you had seen this movie before, yes.
I have seen the movie before multiple times. I have read the book. You were right to call me a book girly.
She does her homework.
She brought her notes. She has opinions where no one asked for them.
This is actually exactly the space for that.
This is what we
truly, truly. And I'm interested to hear, like, what the two of you think truly the villain or the hero is in this movie.
Oh, it's complicated.
Everyone's a villain, and also the real villain is director David Fincher. So I'd love to hear where you stand on this, because I have some thoughts.
Yeah, we'll definitely dive into that because that's the whole point of the podcast.
Yes.
But if you haven't seen Gone Girl, this will probably be a very confusing episode for you. But basically, the plot of Gone Girl is essentially we're sort of introduced to these two characters, Mick Dunn or Dunn, right? Dunn. It's Dunn.
Dunn. It's Dunn. Dunn. It's
spelled
Dunn.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Nick Dunn and Amy Dunn, Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. And it starts out with, like, she goes missing and we don't know what's happening and there's suspicious circumstances around her disappearance. And it's starting to look like Nick killed her. You know, they find blood in the house. They find, you know, smashed tables. They find all these credit card receipts of, like, all this, like, expensive stuff, and he upped their life insurance, and it's all sort of going through this, and the detectives are figuring it out, and...
The detectives are not figuring it out. Yeah. I have to stop you right there. Right there. The detectives... Are not, have not, will not figure this
shit out. Fair enough. They're working it. Anyway, but to us, the audience, it does look as though Nick has killed his wife and the evidence is starting to mount. The whole time we also have Margot, who is Nick's twin sister. They're poorly cast twins. Love me a Carrie Coon.
I was going to say,
she's going to be great and makes everything better.
Doesn't matter. Carrie Coon is carrying this film on
love
her shoulders.
It.
I adore her. She is the best one.
But anyway, then we get about halfway through, you know, there's a diary that's in there that they find in, like, his dad's, Nick's house, dad's house, which is, like, partly burned, which, like... outlines this whole, like, abusive relationship that they had. And then about halfway through the movie, it is revealed that she is not dead. Mm. She has set him up to be framed for her murder. She's done all this elaborate stuff. So she's like slowly bled herself so she can leave like copious amounts of her blood that she then cleans up so they will find it. She faked the entire diary. And all because he dragged her to this small town and lost his job and like...
Oh, okay. Hold on. All right. No, okay.
All
right.
All because dragged her against her will to Missouri.
But like there's the whole cool girl speech, which I'm sure we'll get into.
We're like barking dogs. Two women become pit bulls immediately.
There should be... There's an issue for reasons that we'll get into. She decides to frame him for her murder. Who's
the real villain here?
I'll just say this. Sometimes when I write my notes, I go take a back seat on this one, Craig. And you don't need detail
don't get
notes.
Canceled, Craig.
You don't need details notes. Rebecca and Rachel will handle this fine.
Oh my god. Wow.
So we sort of follow up with Amy, and she's got this whole plan where she's going to actually drown herself. So he actually does go to prison for murder and gets the death penalty, whatever. He is having an affair. That's another thing that's happening that's revealed with a young student.
Not just going to Missouri.
I think we've already. He may be having sex with a child.
It was Missouri and cheating on his wife in that order. I'm sure with the motivations.
And no other stuff. just that.
Anyway, she's got this thing. She's dyed her hair. She's getting away. She's got this getaway car. Very elaborate plan. She ends up getting basically mugged and robbed. All her cash gets taken by some people she meets at a motel. Things change. So she is in sort of desperation, looks up her old college or high school, boarding school, I guess, boyfriend, Desi Collins, played by Neil Patrick Harris, who is great in this role.
We'll get into Desi.
he basically takes her to his lake house, which is basically a prison that she can't get out of and covered in cameras everywhere. And he's like, I want you to be the girl that I want you to be or you were or that I dream of. And she basically fakes stages a sexual assault and like that she was being held captive there and murders him with a box cutter, goes home covered with blood. And then they are like, even though Nick was like going to go to prison, they're like, oh, I guess charges dropped. And then she like cons him into like staying with him and having a baby. And it's very dark at the end.
Girl boss.
Real girl boss energy.
Gatekeep girl boss. I will say this, and we'll get into the parts of this movie that don't quite hold up. She drove 2 hours covered in blood as a wanted woman. Like, people are active. She is all over the news. Everyone's like, where is Amy? She and there's this like iconic scene where she's like wearing like a negligee, like draped in blood, and casually walks up the driveway and like collapses into Ben Affleck's arms. But she was she listening to a podcast, like driving covered in blood for 2 hours? She's like, I kind of have to pee. I don't know if I can stop at this en route.
Just getting a big gulp,
getting a
beef jerky.
Eviscerated with blood, still in her negligee. She doesn't want to mess it up.
So funny.
The guy's just like, at this gas station, we don't ask questions.
There is one gas station.
This is a don't ask, don't tell gas station.
That's fucking awesome.
Oh my god.
The idea of having to pee when you're covered
just like,
in blood.
Oh, fuck. I gotta pee. But
I mean, maybe you just
let it rip
pee.
At that point.
Maybe you just pee.
Yeah, I think you just pee.
Oh my god.
People be like, are you covered in pee?
I spell piss on top of that blood.
That's disgusting.
Wow. All right.
She should shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that, like, who did you peg as the villain in this?
Well, okay. I think I would say that the woman that slits the guy's throat is probably one of.
I think Amy's a villain.
One
for
of
sure.
many villains.
I think one of many villains. But I don't think. Is there a villain if there's truly no hero?
And
we're asking good questions.
That's a good question.
You're welcome.
because I gotta say, when she slit, what's his name again?
Desi. Sorry,
Desi. When she slit his throat, I felt next to nothing.
I felt because they are like these are empty vessels walking around that are just talking like this and looking very poetically at each other and looking around. But like,
but also he had this like really creepy, control-y.
Oh, he was
like,
a mess. He was so creepy.
Yeah. He was. I'm like, man, if you weren't getting murdered, you were about to murder.
The fact that he was like they were sitting on a couch casually. He just, from his perspective, he has rescued a woman from an abusive situation, mm-hmm. from a crazy, like she is a trauma victim, and all he does is like sit on the couch and be like, I kind of want to have sex with you, but don't worry, I'm not going to force myself on you. I'm like, well, that's a weird thing to
gold,
bring up on
gold
prompt.
Star.
Yeah.
Gold stars.
Well, that's odd that that's where you went immediately.
Yes. Also, yeah, you know who's going to force themselves on you? That guy.
That's the guy that says he won't.
Yeah.
That guy will.
Yeah. So I would say, yes, he is also a strong villain.
Yes, he's a villain.
Ben Affleck, strong for days.
That man.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say because so much of the movie, you're seeing footage that you then realize is not real, which is kind of similar to the book. I think, and I will say that, I think the movie has it's already been said. I think a woman should have directed this movie. But
A
woman should have directed this movie because I think the movie aligns itself with Ben Affleck a little too hard.
Mm.
In the sense that, like, we're seeing Ben Affleck be a swarmy little mud pie gross boy, but also with his little bar and his stupid twin. I don't know. Fuck him. But
yeah, really fuck him big time.
His twin.
I do love Margo.
You know men and their twin sisters?
And their
gross
twins?
Ew.
I love even how the movie brought that up, being like, they're twins. What are they doing behind closed doors? I'm like,
they're twins.
Who was asking this question?
Nobody. Nobody was asking.
And the TV was like, but are they more? And I'm like, in real life, that is an insane thing to say on television.
Absolutely.
As a viewer, I'm glad you asked the question. Because I was wondering.
Yeah. That's some Fox News energy. They did capture that well.
She was great.
She was great.
She was
I believe.
Oh, Missy Pyle?
Missy Pyle was excellent. This movie doesn't have any women in it. Because, wait, hold on. let me rephrase this.
Okay.
The women in the movie also hate women.
Right.
I'm just picturing
you in that scene from The Simpsons like, walking out of the theater. It's like Gone Girl. And you're like, I can think of exactly two things wrong with that type. She was not gone, and there are no women in this movie.
It's just all the women, like even the women we're supposed to like align ourselves with, like also hate women. So like Margo, I love the actress who plays Margo. Mm-hmm. Whose name I keep, we just said.
Carrie Coon.
Carrie Coon is unbelievable.
Leftovers. Don't watch it if you're fucking depressed, but great
but
show.
It's great. there's a lot of shows under that category. But like Margo's fantastic, and like we're supposed to like kind of be like, oh, the female cop is also like the smart one as opposed to the dumb one. But both of them also hate women because one of the first things Margo says is being like, hey, for your anniversary, why don't you slap your wife in the face with your dick?
Yeah.
And say, hey, bitch, here's my dick. That was a shocking thing to say. I clutched my pearls. I was like, what?
The way those two talk about Amy, it's so chilling because I'm like, oh, and what freaks me out about it is I'm like, oh, you think you're the good guys.
1,000%.
You think you're the good guys. You're sitting around going, isn't she a bitch? Doesn't she drag my, rub my nose in everything I've ever done wrong?
Oh,
and I'm like, you're both talking about this in a bar she bought for you.
And literally,
put a little respect on it.
Ridiculous. And a bar that looks like so sad. Also, I will... Well, fuck it. I'll say it now. The board games at this bar, I do have to touch on it.
Yes. Oh, I would love you to touch on it.
They're playing Life. They're playing Mastermind. It's one of those cool bars that also has board games. No, it's not. It looks like a sad, sad alcoholic bar. But every time I watch this movie, this catches my eye, and no one ever talks about it, and it drives me fucking crazy. So we've all been to those bars. There's like old tic-tac-toe and snakes and ladders in the dusty corner. She puts the board game back, and one of the games available to patrons of this bar is a Ouija board. There's a fucking Ouija board at this bar. And I'm like, and it is evidently placed. I'm like, yeah. Well, clearly the supernatural is going to come into play in some way. No, never.
There's just a
Ouija board in case someone wants to call the dead.
That's so fun. Like, just drinking in Ouija boards.
And Ouija board, like, anyways, I'm very upset.
No, that's so funny.
You know, just
tying one on. Tying one on, getting a candle in the corner, like, going, we're doing this.
Someone's talking to dead grandma.
Yeah.
Just in the background, two like 18-year-old girls weeping, talking to their grandmas.
Mm. No, anytime I've heard, because I have had, I think we've all bared witness to a conversation similar to this.
Yes.
Where it's somebody going, even maybe a loose friend of yours or something, going like, my fucking bitch of a wife, da 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 da, or whatever. And literally every single time I hear this now, I go, leave.
Go. Don't. Yeah. Then.
And I mean this, and I don't even say it for the person I'm talking to.
Because
I'm like, leave for them.
Yeah.
Okay, if you actually believe every single thing you're saying, you do not know how much of a service you will be doing by leaving them.
100%.
Such a service.
Yes.
Because sometimes people in their heads, they really get it worked in that they're like, I am the savior of this person. They would crumble without me. If I'm staying for them, I'm trying to hold on. Let go. Let go. We're on the edge of a cliff. Okay. The cliff wants you to let go. Okay. You're
like,
holding
you're
on
burden.
To me. You're such a burden. Okay. I would rather get Coyote Ugly up here throwing anvils. Okay. Like, you're just really, you're fucking up the vibe.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, we definitely hang out with too many male stand-up comedians. We're like, my annoying wife and girlfriend are bitch. This movie loves to say bitch.
Yeah.
This movie loves a good bitch.
Yeah. Speaking of, I think the funniest thing about this movie for me, because just full of laughs, is is like reading the reviews of it, like on IMDb.
People are so confused.
Well, no, it's mostly men who are like, "This is so scary. See, this could happen to everybody." It's like, no, it can't. It can't.
It simply won't.
It simply won't. They're like, "See, if you just believe women, this is the natural conclusion." I was like,
"If you just believe women,
they're like, they'll do it. Every woman at the drop of a hat will just gone girl you." And I was like, absolutely no. And it's so funny that like women are actually worried. Like, their biggest concern is like, my husband or my partner will murder me.
Mm. And statistically, they're right.
And they're right. Yeah. And that's a big, and then like, the guy's concern is like, they're going to gone girl me.
They're going to blame me for murdering her.
They're going to go through an elaborate plot, and it could happen to any man.
She's going to get murdered, but I'm going to get upset.
Yeah.
You know, and that is so true. And really, I honestly think speaks to a population of people, because like the amount of I had a conversation once with a guy who, what he was convinced. Okay. I'm sorry. And skip over the next 15 seconds if you are triggered. But like, he was literally convinced that it was as bad to be accused of rape than to be raped.
Fuck. God, there's so many men like that.
It's
exhausting.
Ruins your life. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, you just get raped and you keep walking around to sunshine daisies.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that's like 10 minutes of your life, and then you don't think about it again.
Never comes up.
That's an easy one and done.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it really does.
Absolutely horrible. There's literally a line in here that I wrote down where Ben Affleck just goes, "I'm so sick of being picked apart by women." And that's just a line that sits in the air. And his sister's like, "All right, I'm going to bed."
Yeah. So tired of being picked apart by women. God. When I do nothing, I play video games all day.
Oh, my God.
I sleep with one of my students.
One of his students. God. And then Margot calls this young woman who is in a, like, an unequal power dynamic. She is clearly very young.
Mm-hmm.
And Margot is like, "Yeah, my brother is stupid for fucking her." But also, she calls her a super twat.
Yeah.
Like, unprompted once again. And I'm just like, Can any woman catch a fucking break in this movie?
Well, yeah, it can never be fully the man's fault, right?
No,
it's got to be.
She did something.
It's this temptress. It's this. It's this. Yeah, she's just so young and hot. How could he have controlled himself? And it's like, pretty easily, I think.
So every
I keep my pants buttoned for many hours of the day.
Every
it's insane.
Day I walk around and I don't fuck a kid.
Yeah, you know what? It's insane.
It's
I wake up every day.
Easy.
I'm good at it. I'm good. It's a skill of mine.
Yeah, practice makes perfect.
They keep asking me back to not fuck kids.
I will say, though, that the in defense of their, the woman who robs her, that is her idea to rob Amy.
Oh.
So there we go. There's a positive role, female role model in this movie. The woman who robs Amy, she's got agency, she made a plan.
Talk about
she
girl took, boss.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a real
that's,
girl boss.
That's how you respect women, is by stealing
by
their money. You steal money from other
Money from other women, yeah.
Yes.
Brutal.
One of my favorite things, though, because I just think it's so psychotic, and I think we've all had it happen to us or some form of it, where somebody does something intentionally bad and then goes, but I'm good. Could have been worse. And then
ridiculous.
They're like,
peace. Like, could have killed you.
Could have killed you. I mean, like, I could have called you a crusty cunt instead of a cunt.
It's
and, like,
so wild.
I didn't.
And yeah. I didn't. I'm
and
a hero.
I'm actually kind of a hero.
Maybe she's the hero.
My restraint is
unparalleled.
Yep. Unparalleled.
Unparalleled. I will say, and this is not my observation. The Ouija board, I will take that as mine. But this observation is not. I think it was on like CinemaSins or something on YouTube. But it drove me nuts when I saw it too. When they're playing mini putt, like golfing, and Amy has her like money belt, and it like falls out of her shirt or pants because everything's thought about. But she's holding a wad of cash in her underwear, and then. It literally, it's just a weird like skin tight. It looks like a ballet Velcro or just something you like dance with. Just falls out of her shirt, and the two other thieves immediately go, "I thought you said you didn't have any money. That's not visibly money. It looks like her bra fell off." But then somehow she's like, "Looks like you're rich money bags," and it was not didn't look like money. Anyways,
yeah,
no,
I agree.
That's
yeah.
All.
Yeah, that's not a good. That's not good planning.
That's not good planning.
That's not good planning.
Yeah, it goes in the book too. She's like, she's good at murder up until a point, and then she's very like egotistical and like kind of gets bad at murder. So yeah, that is definitely covered more in the book, I think.
Oh, just like
that she starts, yeah.
That she gets sloppy, like, yeah. and it like she is flawed, and she's not like this perfect, articulate, like.
Well, yeah, because a lot of it is the manner in which she does things is also very ego driven.
Yes,
and you can't be ego driven and intelligent at the same time.
You can't simply, especially if you're a woman. that's too much brain. That's way too much. But we can't have both lights on at the same time.
That's so fun. No, I just think honestly, I think if you're driven by that and just like, oh, you know, like I want to be a national treasure and. Mm-hmm. It's a genius way of having that character come up that way through Amazing Amy and like it really does lend itself to that. I have to be the best. I have this drive. I have to kind of exceed expectations, even if they are psychotic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even if it is murder.
Yes. 1,000%. What, yeah, that also ties in. So the book is, I personally think, the book is a lot more about this. The book covers this a lot better than the film, which is that, like, the book is more so about, like, she has all of, like, the unrealistic expectations that women are put under of, like, she's got to, her parents need her to be the best good girl and her boyfriend needs her to be the best cool girl. And, like, everyone has these unrealistic expectations of her and she cracks because... that is unrealistic, but every woman is kind of held to this standard. The movie goes more on the basis of like women be crazy, careful who you fuck.
This could happen to anybody.
It could happen to any man. So that's more of the avenue the book takes. But it just reminds me watching the parts of their relationship where they're supposed to be like the cool, like good couple, where they're like at that Amazing Amy event, which first of all, weird. like that they would have like a fancy cocktail hour for like a child's book where the character gets married. It was very odd. But like whenever they're flirting, I'm just like, are they cousins? I don't feel their spark.
But
I feel like that also works for the movie where it's like these are people who are attracted to each other because of the kind of person they are.
Right. Like it's this like is a trope.
Yeah. This is, this guy could be like, she says in her cool girl speech, right? She goes like, oh, this is a guy who I was like, oh, this is like a piece of my collection that
exactly.
I need. Right. Yeah. Like you've got the right parts and I want you to be this guy. Mm-hmm. And like, that's kind of, as she said, what motivates her to, like, frame him, which is you stop being the guy that I deserve and I need. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And same thing, him with her. She's pretending to be what he wants and all the rest.
Totally, yeah. In the movie, though, that's the one that, because I mean, we've all, the cool girl speech is very well known by now. And when you read it written, it's fantastic. But the problem is, for me at least, it's just me, but the problem is for me, we don't see her be the cool girl. Mm. We see her be the demure housewife.
Yeah.
But she was saying like, the cool girl laughs at your jokes and wears jerseys and like is funny and one of the boys. And we never see her be the cool girl, ever.
Legit, yeah.
That is a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she's just not the, and in the book it's a lot more like, oh yeah, she's playing this kind of like guy's girl that like everyone wants to fuck and like, she's like, I blow my boyfriend and I'm that kind of girl. I'm like, you've always only been like the star of a Lifetime movie who's like walking around secretly in a cashmere. Like that's not, it's a type, but it's not a cool girl.
Also, is blowing your boyfriend a cool girl thing or is it just a thing that people do?
I kind of think it's just part of human sexuality.
Yeah, like I kind of, every time, when she said that, I was like, what? I'm like, okay, like, was he like fat Joe and you? He's not going down? Or like, what's the problem?
I think that's it.
I think the implication is that he's not going down on her?
Yes, I think it's the idea that like, she blows her boyfriend unprompted, but he doesn't reciprocate.
Sorry, fat Joeing? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Like, what? Fat Joe, he doesn't go down on women. It's like, he's notorious for not going down on
women.
This is
just a reference I don't
get.
You know what?
I've never heard it used as a verb.
I thought I did, but I don't. Please explain this.
So, you know, like, I thought... So, you know the rapper Fat Joe?
Yes.
Fat Joe, you know, like, what's love? Like, you know, Fat Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on. I'm just like, I gotta make sure, but like, I'm pretty sure he's like notorious for not saying like, Ivy's texting me. I think you're thinking of DJ Cadlin, but I also think it's Fat Joe too.
Oh my God. That's so funny. That's so funny. How many rappers don't go down on a woman?
I'm gonna look it up. I swear to God.
Oh my God.
I feel
so
like.
Funny.
Well, as Rebecca looks that up, I'm just gonna make the very bold and very premise heavy statement here, where I think as shitty as Ben Affleck's character is in this, you shouldn't cheat on your wife. You shouldn't be, you know, sleeping with your college students and all the rest. I think her response is slightly disproportionate to the crimes that he committed.
Oh, yes.
I think I think especially if there's a prenup there, you just divorce him and you go your way. You don't have to.
I mean.
Anyway, you're right. She committed murder. That's bad.
And to say, just to follow up on my Fat Joe point.
Yes, please
do. Regardless of whether he does in real life, he raps about it. Mm-hmm. So that's where I grab that.
And rap like, comes like, from a place of truth.
Yeah, I think so. Like he it's just taught, he is rapped about how he doesn't go down on women.
Yeah,
so that's where I'm grabbing that from.
Cool.
Anyway.
That was good. No. I'm glad we did
it. I needed to clarify.
This felt important.
All my rap comes from a place of truth, except for the part where I rap about not going down on women.
Yes, I do.
In retrospect, it's a weird lyric to put in, but you try making that many rhymes.
After the first four, you gotta get a little creative.
something, I don't go down on women. The first thing that pops into your mind.
How many things rhyme with cunnilingus?
Yes. Sorry, I completely lost track of where we were.
So, yeah, cunnilingus. So yeah. I mean, it is disproportionate, sure. And I
sure.
Is murder bad?
Maybe.
I guess. But I think.
What degree murder?
What degree of murder? The problem with me is that because so much of what we saw of Nick was the fake stuff, we actually don't know how annoying and terrible he was in this relationship for real.
Mm. Oh, I feel like I can already speculate. Just by the way he speaks about her.
By the way he uses bitch. By the way he says, I don't like women picking me apart.
Yeah.
I am so sick of being picked apart by people. It's picked apart by women.
Yes.
And like by all women are like, the neighbor down the street, Casey Wilson, God bless her, is the amount of times everyone's like, that dumb pregnant bitch.
Oh, you know, the woman that cared about all your problems and really listened to you and came over.
Even
and
Amy is like, befriend the dumb fucking idiot who has 3 kids. I'm like, she's trying to be your friend.
Yes. She seemed genuinely nice and spoke up for you on several occasions where it would disservice her.
You're using
She
her
showed
pee.
Up at the home. She showed up at the home. She yelled at Nick in the middle of the crowd, was like, oh, like she's outing this man. It's like, she's not dumb. She's a friend.
No, she's a proactive, like strong-willed mother and woman.
Yes. If we're calling characters that think other characters are villains, that's a villain I stand.
That is a villain I stand. I completely agree.
Yeah, I would say the point at which you have to stand outside of a crime scene and yell at the top of your lungs at the cops inside so that they will interview you so you can give them information on a person that you knew being murdered.
1,000%.
I think that's probably... You know, like maybe that should have been day one.
Even that other detective.
I know her. Yeah. I have information that may contribute.
And the detective.
Please take my statement.
100%. And the detective was like, yeah, that ditzy pregnant lady like seems to like to talk about bullshit. I'm like, you're a fucking detective. Talk to her.
The bullshit's your whole job.
Also, how was that crime scene open so quickly to him?
So quickly.
He was sitting in his own kitchen, like, 100%. 48 hours later.
Fucking, they were sticky noting blood splatter, being like, well, we can just leave this sticky note here in this, like, completely exposed blood splatter. Let's go upstairs with this possible murderer.
Let's just let him faff about in here for a couple hours without us. Just see what he wants to do, you know?
It's his house. I mean, it's his
house.
We gotta be nice.
Oh my God. I did love that they, the way they dressed up the woman that he was, like the student.
Oh,
they're like,
my
she's dressed
God.
Like a babysitter. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Because she's a child.
Because she is a child and she probably had to babysit somebody.
Yeah. And literally, they're quick to tell us that she is in her early 20s, but she's a young in her early 20s.
Regardless of what point you are at an age, you can't sleep. Like you shouldn't sleep with your students ever.
Ever.
Regardless of age or generation or what have you. Okay. Nah, it's not. That's not.
No bueno.
Every time I've heard that every once in a while, someone would be like, oh, yeah, like we met in class. He was my teacher. I'm like,
interesting.
It's cute. Oh.
Is this a fan fiction you wrote or
is this
real? A fan fiction you wrote?
Uh-oh. No. Very bad. Like
So bad.
I really do hate every man in this movie, though.
I hate every man in this movie, and what bothers me is that I think the movie hates all the women equally, and I don't think they deserve it. Because, like, maybe I'm just way too struggly. I'm just a little woke liberal snowflake, but I just like women.
We get in trouble for that sometimes.
Oh, sue me. Sorry. No, I'm not going to go farther into that. I blow job too. But like the movie, like everyone around them is also being like, oh, this like dumb love struck teenager is like, I don't think the movie does investigate enough that like they were like, oh, they dressed her up like a babysitter and not like, no, she's the age of a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's they dressed her up as like a sneaky move.
Yeah.
Yes. And it bothers me so fucking much when the other woman is pissed at the woman. You know what I mean?
Makes
when the two women,
no
it makes
sense.
No sense. I was
no
like, you
sense.
Are not involved with each other. There is one person in charge here on
Absolutely
this.
Absolutely not.
And he should be where you're directing your fucking anger at. I have not once ever been cheated on and thought, that fucking hoe.
Yeah, 100%.
That hoe. Like, except for the one time that she was my friend. And I was like, oh, well, oh, you know me.
Rebecca. Should we get into that?
No. No, it's fine.
No,
it's fine.
I have questions.
No. That's high school bullshit. It doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
No, it does. It could not possibly.
I do hate girls in high school. They suck.
They are.
No, I take that back.
No, high school women are terrifying.
No, everyone in high school is horrible.
Yes, and it's not their fault. It is hormones. It is raging. It is, yeah.
Mm. Oh, my God, yeah, I forgot about that. Also, the female detective, again, women hating women in this film, the female detective, the male detective was like, why don't we just get this guy? Because, like, there's the people on TV say we should get him, so we should get him, even though we don't have any evidence. He's really bad at his job. And she was like, we can't get him just because some blonde dunce says so. And, like, again, unprompted, just talking about a blonde woman on television.
Yes, why?
What? I'm like, what?
Why does every, you know what?
No
I don't even
asked.
Think. Yeah, nobody asked, and every term is so degrading.
And cutting. Like, they got tired.
Every single time.
They got tired of bitch real quick.
Well, who doesn't, to be honest with you?
I'm tired of bitch.
Girl, that is really my trigger word. Mm. That is the one thing. Every relationship I go into, I'm like, hey, just so you know, if you ever call me a bitch, that is my activation code. If you ever want to activate me, you can just say that.
You want to get gone, girls?
Yeah. Like, you want to
call Rebecca Reed's a bitch.
Yeah. Call me a fucking bitch. You can call
See
me a lot
happens.
Of things. I have been insulted a lot.
Just in Rebecca's apartment, there's like break glass in case of bitch. and it's just a copy of the book Gone Girl. It's like a two liter bag of her own
that.
Blood.
Yeah, so it's funny. Oh my
that
God.
That would actually
some hair
be
dye.
A very funny gift for somebody.
That's so funny. Vein thing that she just, like bleeds out into the bag.
She's
like,
just got an IV bag
an
and
IV
is just
bag.
Squirting the kitchen with her own blood and being like, I warned you.
I said it would happen. This is a podcast. You
She's
heard the podcast.
Currently peroxiding her hair.
Oh, like, so funny. Holy.
The amount of times, yeah. We're not at Gone Girl level, but I'm like, just fucking try me. I literally watched a man say, oh, the floor's a bit dirty, spit on it, and then wipe it up with his own sock.
Rebecca, who? What? Who are you? What?
Girl, I'm telling
name,
you.
Names.
Names. For real.
Names.
Talks them.
No, I'm telling you, it is.
No, it's. It's decrepit out there.
Some men are wild.
But it's even like the most basic thing. Like even in Gone Girl, they were like, Nick didn't own a pair of scissors, and like
I
Amy bought her a pair.
How
of, like,
he? She bought me my first pair of scissors.
Like
it's the most insane.
Like, yeah, he didn't have like one of those dish soap things, or like he didn't have like a thing that's a basic necessity. But oh, like you need fucking scissors.
You need them.
Everyone needs scissors.
You learn. You get scissors in like
you
preschool.
You haven't gotten a package open in your life? Like, what are you talking
never
about? This guy just uses a serrated knife for everything.
He uses a box cutter for everything.
Yeah.
He was murdering.
Yeah. Every present you receive looks like it's arrived by some sort of fucking weird ass post.
That's
like,
so funny.
Yeah, how do you not own? Oh, man.
No.
Oh,
not wow. owning. Yes. It's so even in that, like there are. There are small statements, because I agree with you that the way this movie is done, it views all parties as almost equals in a sense, or hates yeah. women, that sort of thing. But there are generally, and I would state probably pulled from the book, these small statements that really mean everything.
Yes.
That the second you actually think about them, you lean in for one fucking second, you're like, oh, you didn't own scissors? Kill this man. Throw this man in jail. Throw 100%. Him in jail. He didn't own scissors. As an adult person, that means he's never taken care of anything in his fucking life. There was, and when they talk about, because there's a moment where she talks about how, you know, she uprooted her life. She goes to Missouri.
Ugh.
And he basically starts acting like she's not there. Mm-hmm. Like there's this small just scene where he's talking to his parents and it's like, oh my God. Yeah. Like it wasn't like I was a part of the family or anything like that. It just kind of felt like, you know, I was furnishings.
Yes.
And that to me also speaks to a man that had his parents do everything for them.
Thousand.
I don't think this guy has ever done anything. Okay. I think he comes home and mommy takes care of him. And I think he gets out here and you're now mommy. Okay. And that is something I think a lot of adult women look for in relationships is I don't want to be mommy.
I don't want to be mommy. Oh my God. That is.
I'm done being mommy. I've had relationships where I'm mom and I'm done. Okay. I'm not doing it.
So with you there.
I am not soft parenting you into learning how to wash a fucking dish, bud. There, it's front and back. This plate has two sides. Look at them.
Oh my God.
Okay, like good.
I want a t-shirt that says this plate has front and back. That's great. That's excellent. But it's also, and it's funny you say that because in the book, they do go into more detail about his parentage, which is that, and literally they didn't have time in the movie, truly. It's like it's a 2.5-hour
film. It's far too long. Yes.
But they touch on it that like his mom died of cancer and his dad, was senile and was like wandering away from the retirement home. Yeah. He had this very like he got all these very like macho-ism ideals from his father.
Okay.
About how to be a man and what it means to be a gentleman and that kind of thing. And his mom was very much be polite and be a gentleman, but also she was like my little pretty boy.
So. Yes.
Okay, that all tracks.
Yeah, God damn, the little smirks and smiles.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Ew.
I was like arrest on site.
God.
Just just for existing in this state.
Like I know Ben Affleck's supposed to be objectively good looking, but not to me, my friends.
Really not attractive to me. I can't.
To be fair, his body has been through some things. He is.
Oh, it's not even a body issue with me. It's like I've never once in my life have I ever looked at Ben Affleck and been like, yeah.
And been like, yeah. No, 1,000% I'm with you.
I think he shows his personality in his face too much. Yes. And I don't like it.
I agree.
And I don't care for his personality, I think.
No.
Although I will say, I have never identified with anything more than that photo of him smoking outside with Dunkin' Donuts.
That is what I was talking about. Because that's Ben Affleck.
That is...
We can talk about Good Will Hunting. Mm-hmm. We can talk about whatever the fuck you want to talk about. That's Ben Affleck.
Yeah, that moment, I'm like, there's got to be some sort of like German word for this or something. Like there is... That is a feeling. That is a moment. And I love it.
I love it. That's... A full German send. Word for the feeling of seeing, of relating to Ben Affleck smoking outside.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, yes, there's got to be something for that. That photo, every time I see it, I'm like, oh yeah, I've been there, bud. It's the only thing I've ever seen that made Ben Affleck relatable to me.
You know what it is? It's a long exhale, I think. Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It's the...
Yeah.
Like that's that picture distilled. Yeah.
That's so
and like
real.
I'm somebody when I've had a lot like if I've had a long day or if I'm feeling something or whatever, I have been described as 90% noises. Where I just kind of went like I just started like screaming in my head.
Oh my God.
I'm just losing it.
I'm the exact same way because I make noises when I am also like in a distraughtful place. And I was recently in a distraughtful place and I thought I was keeping it together real good until I realized I was like not cognizant of the fact that I was making outdoor noises, as opposed to indoor noises. And literally I was walking down the street with my friends and in my head I was like, you're doing great. You just got to hold it together for like another 20 minutes. And I'm like, my face though, killing it. No one knows a thing. And all of a sudden, my friend just puts her hand on my back and goes, it's going to be okay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, never been so called out in my life.
Oh, that's so funny.
There is nothing worse than discovering that you're a person who wears their heart on their sleeve.
1,000%. You're not hiding it.
Yes.
It's so scary.
Yes. And everyone knows, like, oh, my God.
Every single person I've ever dated, I tell them straight up, I'm like, I just hope you know I'm not a good liar.
Yeah.
I need you to know that. Like, I'm going to, if you ask me a question, prepare for my very real answer. Okay, you need to prepare yourself. You need to be ready for a real response because, like, sometimes I'm going to try and give you a polite one, but you're going to know by my face what I mean.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's amazing.
So, like, I just need you to know, prepare yourself.
We should all be more honest.
Well, like, for me, though, it's a lot of times people will read that I'm feeling a certain way before I know that I'm
feeling. Oh, I'm right.
Like,
I'm there
like,
too.
Yeah, where people are like, are you okay, Craig? And you're like, I'm fine. Why would and then like
and then you're like
2 hours later I'm like, oh, I'm not fine.
So
I am
so real. I would really like to know before others, but it doesn't seem like it's in the cards.
Yeah. I used to date someone I used to date was like, I always thought that, you know, our first couple of dates that you were so disinterested in me. Cause we would like, you know, we'd go out and you'd be all interested at first. Yeah. And then you would just like shut down and like not, you know, you were a different person. And then she's like, and then the more I got to know you, I just realized that come 11 p.m., you just shut down. God. Like you're trying to have fun, you're trying to be there, but you're just a tired, sleepy boy
at
that point.
That's so funny. You're not disinterested, you just have a bedtime.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And I was like, I thought I was keeping it together. I thought we were having fun.
That's adorable.
That is super fucking cute, dude.
That's adorable. I will say real quick on the is Ben Affleck hot note real quick. He's not. I don't think so. But that's the whole note. I will say there was someone else in this film who was an early sexual awakening for me.
Oh. Ooh.
And that is a very specific Neil Patrick Harris that this touches on.
Okay.
And I will explain.
Yes.
Because a lot of people, when they heard that Neil Patrick Harris was cast as Desi, was like, that's weird. That is not correct casting. That's not who Desi is. And Neil Patrick Harris at that time was primarily known for like How I Met Your Mother and not much else, except for Broadway people knew. So it was very much like people felt weird about Neil Patrick Harris being in this role. I loved it. I loved him as Desi, specifically because I like a Neil Patrick Harris that's a little bit off. Mm-hmm. And here's why. A very early sexual awakening for me was not Neil Patrick Harris in anything else, but specifically Neil Patrick Harris in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle when he's coked out of his mind in the backseat of their car.
Huh.
I remember him in it, and you're right, that is a very similar character, because it's off type, was the joke in that movie.
The joke is, he's not this guy, and that just like it is in this casting, where it's like, Neil Patrick Harris is like, not this guy, but we're making him this guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my yum, yum, yum. I want.
Oh, you're getting a triple yum on that,
I want a coked out, murder-driven Neil Patrick Harris. I want Neil Patrick Harris on his not best behavior.
On his not best behavior.
Yeah. What a type.
It's so real. It's so real. It is.
Rosamund Pike is also, I like her in this. She is one of, I think, the few women in Hollywood who I like, am like, you've got a villain face.
Yes.
Lot of movies I've seen her in, I'm like, yeah, but you're the villain though. like she was in Die Another Day, and they're like, you're the villain.
I care a lot,
which is, I was like, you're
the bad one.
You're the bad one. Yeah. You're up against a Peter Dinklage gangster, and somehow you're the bad one.
1,000%.
She's got that, like we were just talking on the bonus episode, Chris Cooper has like a villain vibe to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, you always play villains.
Yes.
And it's like, I think Rosamund Pike is like one of the few women where I'm like, no, you're the villain.
100%.
Yeah.
And she's also got that Lifetime movie look. Like a lot of the Gone Girl tropes that they're playing with is the like missing white woman syndrome of the like everyone cares because it's like a beautiful, they talk about it more in the book, but the like it's a beautiful white blonde woman who's missing. So like the media goes affluent, rich, and so like the media goes insane. She's an unbelievable actress. Something about her performance in this didn't sit well with me, but I think it's just because she was like very much the David Fincher tone throughout. I think I'm actually going to blame David Fincher on that, because I know she's an amazing actress. She can do many wonderful things, but she did. It bothered me that I didn't see the switch between how she behaves with like Nick versus how she behaves outside. Like there wasn't a clear enough switch between all of the parts of her. She's just always like sneaky. She's just always a sneaky lady.
Well, and like I Kat told me this, which was that apparently Reese Witherspoon was originally set to play her.
Yes.
Which would have been an amazing switch. Because you get halfway
through. Much better.
You get
agree.
Halfway through the movie and then Reese Witherspoon goes from like Elle Woods to Whatever her character was in an election.
She's done an election.
Yeah.
She would have been
and it's like,
perfect
and you go,
for that role.
Yeah,
that
because is you're so like, true, oh, you're yeah. so, you're fun, you're bubbly, you're a people pleaser.
Yeah.
You're,
yeah.
You're,
and she you're plays innocent, the cool girl.
And then to be like pure fucking psycho.
It's so true. And the annoying thing is, I think it's her production company.
Yeah.
And I think David Fincher came in and was like, no, 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 we're picking Rosamund Pike. But I think Reese would have been...
Rosamund Pike, the poor man.
With the poor man.
Reese Witherspoon.
The poor man's Reese.
I think it would have been so much better. I completely agree. I think she could have played the switch, like, beautifully. Because if she is the Elle Woods, like, bubbly, but also, like, the girl that all the guys want because she's, like, funny and, like, laughs mm-hmm. at their jokes. And then we see her be that, like, cutting... like brilliant murderer. That would have been but you know, Rosamund Pike's hot, so
she is, and she is
a good actress. I didn't mean to.
She's a
wonderful woman. I didn't mean to.
On this podcast, we judge women by their looks only.
That blonde dunce.
brutal. No, she. I do think one of her best scenes for me is when she's in the shower washing off the blood.
Yes. Oh, I love that scene.
That, because that for me was actually her biggest switch.
Yes.
Because we see this progression. We see her, well, like, we see her literally murder a guy, right? Mm-hmm. Which obviously is a huge shift in tone.
Yes.
Okay. But for whatever reason, I found that less of a shift in tone than her being chill as fuck in the shower, just washing off that blood, being like shampoo.
Yeah, that's like, great. I love moments like
yum,
that.
Yum, 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 yum.
And
yum,
I will say, while she like kind of maintains that cool facade the whole way through, like mm-hmm. not cool girl, but that kind of like effervescent facade, I will say she makes excellent choices, because there are times when, like, right after she murders Desi, she does this lovely thing where she just kind of like blows her bangs up and just goes like... and, like, just kind of gets hair out of her face. And mm-hmm. it's such a casual little, like panting, blood, everything. And then just, like, kind of goes, huh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's such a lovely switch. And it's she makes excellent, like, choices.
Yeah.
What a chilling.
But you know what bothered me about that scene? Mm. Really, they wouldn't have washed you off at the hospital?
There's so many, like, the,
oh, yeah, dude.
It's like, so
no.
Hi, at this hospital, we send people home covered in blood.
Drenched in blood.
Other people's blood.
Other people's blood, yes.
Do maybe wash that off to examine somebody?
Our hospital has bad Yelp reviews. Everyone keeps walking out eviscerated with blood.
Yes. We actually give them more blood.
Yeah. went in for a kidney transplant. Came home covered in blood.
Yes.
One star. This is an Evil Dead hospital.
Yeah, we do not.
Oh, wow.
That costs extra.
To be not drenched in blood.
To not, yeah, the blood wash, that's extra. You got to pay for that. Oh, that's like that's like the wax when you take your car through
it's
the thing. It's like
the dunk
that's
tank.
The deluxe. That's the deluxe. Package.
Oh, fuck, that's so funny.
Are we ready for our
yeah, I think we're
for
good.
Our rankings?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we feel, Rachel, do you have any last final notes?
I think that's it. I think everything else was so, like, police are bad at their jobs. This movie loves bitches. what did Margot just say about his hard cock? This is insane. these are all. Oh, also, like, what bookstore can you fuck in the back of? I need to find it. That's it.
Yes. So true.
That's actually probably a business opportunity.
Yeah. What library has a fuck room? That's amazing.
That was a pretty cool girl move.
That was a cool girl move.
What a cool girl.
Hey, she reads Jane Austen and also takes it in the ass.
Hey.
That's the cool girl.
That's the standard women we want. Okay. So I'm just ranking them as a couple. They're both villains. I'm ranking them as a couple. My scale is weird places to take a photo and smile. So from in front of a prison all the way up to a casket, like taking a selfie at a funeral, I am going to give them both a left at the altar. You should have left each other. That's pretty self-explanatory. What do you got for us, Rachel?
Okay, this is dumb.
No, it's always dumb. Okay. It's always dumb.
Okay. You know what? I was going to be just one of them, but I will also rate them as a couple.
Nice.
Because I think they're both kind of the same enigma. I will... The scale that we're dealing with is from kissing in a sugar storm, which we didn't talk about, but that scene was
what a weird
bizarre and unhygienic. And yeah, when they were kissing in that back alley with all the, anyways. From kissing in a sugar storm to Neil Patrick Harris doing nose sugar in the back of a car. I will give them Shut the Door, Baby, Don't Say a Word by Sugar Ray. I honestly love it.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect.
I love it. I was worried about that one. I had to message you beforehand being like, what's a good one?
Rebecca's got a good
Sugar Ray reference. She loves a good Sugar Ray.
I love that.
That's solid Sugar Ray.
Perfection. Sugar no Ray. Notes. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. Great. So I had the crazy ex-girlfriend breakup scale.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Good.
So on a scale of staying on the same phone plan. Hey, what an amicable breakup, right?
We'll
finish
we're
out this
save
contract.
Some dollars.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
All the way up to sending a wall of text to you every day at 5 a.m. telling you how awful you are and how you ruined their lives.
Oh my God.
I'm going to rate Amy a wants to stay friends with your sisters. Because... a little scary, but don't worry, guys. It's never going to happen.
Oh
don't
God,
worry
that's
about it.
So
you don't
funny.
Have a guy. They're never going to gone girl. Yeah, it's
that's
fine.
That's so
that's
funny.
That's so funny.
I love that.
For you. That's great.
Hey, guys, we are going to get to our heroes and villains of the week in a second. But first, a couple ways that you can support the podcast. So first of all, if you want to support the podcast financially, oh, my God, we would love that. Thank you so much. You can head over to patreon.com/thevillainwasright. Patreon is a monthly subscription service where you get to support the artist that you love, and hopefully that's us. And in exchange, you get some amazing benefits. At our very top tier, you get 2 bonus episodes a month, and we also have a tier where you get to vote on audience choice episodes. This is an audience choice episode. Our patrons voted. They decided it was Gone Girl. It's like, we got to work out a little bit. We got to try. We got to stretch on this one. You made that happen, our patrons. So if you want to have your say in that, head on over to patreon.com/thevillainwasright and sign up for the tier that fits best for you. And if not, that's great. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting. Thank you for leaving reviews for us. And if you want to get in touch.
As always, you can follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter, Villain Was Right on Facebook, villainwasright@gmail.com if you would like to email us with your suggestions, stories, general anecdotes. And of course, we are also on on TikTok and Instagram, Villain Was Right, if you would like to see our stupid little faces. Yes. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. What do you got first, Craigie?
Yeah. So I've got another entry in the long-running saga of Craig Faye versus technology.
Craig Faye versus technology. We gotta get you like a theme song or something.
We
do. Just gotta zip in when
oh my God.
And then one for when I lose shit. Yeah.
There are recurring themes in our lives, yes. And yeah, absolutely. God help, like, thank God we don't have Walkman like that. You would lose it, and I would, anyway. it was recently my anniversary with Kat, and it was very nice.
Bragger!
Yeah. For an anniversary present, I got her a nice an outdoor umbrella for our deck, you know, a nice little cantilever thing, which also involved me giving her as an anniversary gift 200 pounds of sand.
I gave her a bunch of Ben Affleck.
Just one Ben Affleck laid down on top of the thing to hold it in place so it doesn't tip over. By the way, 200 pounds of sand is apparently my level of comfort with technology. That's the level of technology I'm good at, lugging sand. Because Kat, for our anniversary, and I'm very grateful for this, I'm in no way complaining, got me a PS5, a PlayStation 5, which is never something I would have bought for myself, and it was very nice.
That's a nice gift.
It's a nice gift.
That's a nice gift.
So I spent the entire day assembling an umbrella and hauling sand around. And then I came inside and I was like, great, nice modern video game console. Mm. These things are plug and play. You just got no, you know, no colored component cables and setting the VCR to aux and channel three. Back when it was in my, in my day, that's how we had to hook things up.
That's a real back in my day. Wow.
So I was just like, I'm really looking forward to this. I'll unpack it. I'll plug it in. It's just plug and play. It's all good to go. And it just wouldn't turn on. Just would not turn on. Couldn't get it to go. Had to cycle the power a whole bunch of times. Finally, it comes on, and it's like, I'm like, okay, I don't know what I changed. I was trying all the different HDMIs, all the rest. But we're good to go now. And it's like, do you want to update your software? And I was like, yeah, let's do that. So I update the software, and then the thing doesn't boot up again. It just crashes, and I'm like trying to boot it and like change all the power, and it's not coming on. Like, the only thing it'll do is it'll come up with a black screen, and it would like flash like strobe blue a little bit in the corners, and that's it. And I was just like, well, fuck. So I like pull out Google, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? They're like, this is how you boot a PS5 in safe mode. And so like I boot it up, and that screen shows up. And I'm like, okay. So they're like, try doing a factory reset on it. Do a factory reset. That doesn't work. Try changing this. Try changing this. I go through all these things. They're like, okay, you now have to go onto a computer, and you need to download a new operating system onto a USB key, boot it up in safe mode. Then you gotta like reboot from USB. No. So I'm upstairs, I'm formatting USB keys and naming files correctly, downloading things from the Sony website, put it in, get it booted up, completely reinstall everything on the PS5. Still does not work. No. It is still a black screen with the flashing blue. And I'm like, okay, last ditch effort. Once again, can only get it to boot in safe mode. And I'm like, maybe I'll just change. One of the options is change the screen resolution. I was like, maybe that'll do something. And I changed it to 720p, and it boots up immediately. It was just some weird, like the TV was telling it one thing, and this was telling it the other. And by bumping it down to like the lower resolution, it just sorted it all out. And it's not at 720p now. It's back to like the 4K or whatever it is. But it's just like, that's what it needed to do. So 4 hours later, I finally sit down with this and I'm like, here we go. And I sign into the Wi-Fi and I create my PlayStation account. And then I'm like, I'm ready to play a game. And I go to download the game that came with the console. And it's like, it'll be 2 hours to download. No. And I was just all right, it's good. But it's working now. It's a lot of fun. I really like it. Like God of War, it's fun anyway, but I did it.
That was an ordeal, right? Honestly, Craig, that is one of your most relatable versus technologies I have ever. That was a journey, man.
That was an odyssey.
I would have given up about six times in there.
That's the thing. I'm not bad at technology. Yeah. It's bad at me.
Oh, wow.
You're the best. That's so funny. You're so awesome. But,
so that's my villain of the week.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So cute.
Rachel, what do you got for us?
Oh, no. Okay. It's a... I will leave it up to you to discern who is the villain in this story. Because I still don't know. And I don't know what to make of this. I was going to do something else. But I had the weirdest interaction last night at a birthday party. It was the strangest interaction. And I just need to talk about it. Yeah. So I was at this birthday party with some very fun birthday party and very cool people. And I meet this person, this woman, who is one of those people who tells you their life story a little too quickly.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know those people that you meet and you're just like, oh, I know the like deep traumas of your childhood and we're standing in line for coat check. Like that kind of situation where it's like, okay.
There's fun overshare and then there's dark overshare.
Dark,
you know what I mean?
And this was dark.
I'm like
overshare.
A fun overshare. I'm like, oh my God, so I'm going to do this tonight. This is great. You know what I mean?
1,000%. Yes.
Craig's laughing because I said something as soon as I got in here.
Oh my God. Well, I know. I want to know that.
Well, we'll find out after.
Okay, excellent.
It is sexual in nature.
Oh, good, because so is this story.
Oh, perfection.
So what happened was I start chatting with her, and she starts talking about, you know, like all of her like relationship problems and all of these like problems she's having with men. And she says, and then there was the thing with my stepbrother.
Oh, no.
And And there was more people in this conversation. We could have easily just cruised right on by. But thank God, and honestly, thank God, because I was like, I'm a people pleaser to a fault. So I'm like, make everyone feel comfortable. Make everyone, mm-hmm. like, this is a safe space. Make everyone feel good. And then somebody immediately said, my friend next to me went, what happened with your stepbrother?
Oh, nope. Should have left that stick on the ground, eh?
And she said, well, I won't say what happened or what we did together.
Well, you already did.
Already did, my friend.
A non-answer is an answer here.
But then she also said, she's like, but you know, like, he's only been my stepbrother for a few years, and only when we're both adults, and only it was only been for a few years, and we live in separate cities. And so me, without thinking, in an effort to just make everyone feel comfortable again, because I can feel when energy gets weird, and the minute it gets weird, the, like, comedian but people pleaser in me is like, how do I put this out? I immediately said, oh, well, that's fine. Without even, I was like, oh, well, then don't even worry about it.
Then that's fine.
And immediately I was like, what the fuck did you just, like, now the attention's on me that I think this is chill. And I've been thinking about that this whole time.
That's so funny.
One could call me the villain in that story.
No, I think you're the hero for just being like.
For just being okay.
I think that's fine. Like, everybody in that crowd was like, we know why you said that's fine.
I think that's okay.
It won't be an inquiry into my personal life.
No. Yeah, there's. You're saying it's fine, so we stop talking about.
So we all stop talking about this. 1,000%. Yeah. So
I love it. I'm going to call you the hero of that situation.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think you bridged that nicely.
Yeah, thank you. I think the villain is partial incest.
Oh, my God. My line always when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, oh, so you're going to tell me a secret. That's how I respond to that. I'm like,
that's
oh.
So funny. And I'm stealing that immediately.
Oh, no, I do that every time.
Because that puts them immediately on guard. Yeah, like, oh, yeah. Oh, we're here.
Oh, so you're going to tell me a secret.
Interesting.
Like, just FYI, this is an information you should share with strangers.
No, I always tell them it's a secret. Yeah. I'm like, oh, so we're just tipping our hand. Okay. sick. All right. Just so I know.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Oh my God. So I have, I have a villain, but the hero is karma.
Ooh, I love that.
This is my favorite. Okay. So obviously I have to tell a bad man story.
Love
obviously
it.
We've watched this
girl.
Movie.
Gone
we've
girling.
Gone growling. Okay. So I was dating this guy. And he was just, I think maybe I was maybe a little triggered by this movie. I think watching this, I was like, oh yeah, I've dated that guy. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I was dating this guy and he was just like he would be very critical all the time. Just very critical all the time of anything, what I was wearing, what I was doing, everything.
Oh my God.
Okay. So one night we're eating dinner and we're having spaghetti and meatballs. And he decides that he is going to tell me that I am eating like a pig. He's like, just so you know, you're eating
Fuck
like a pig. You're disgusting.
Off.
And I'm just sitting there and I'm fucking vibrating, obviously, because I'm like, fuck you, motherfucker. I'm like,
you're going for the gone girl.
Yeah,
break
yeah, yeah.
Glass.
Like, I'm like literally, I'm teeing up for something in my head right now. I'm like, okay, we're about to have a fucking brawl yeah. about this, right?
Call me
like,
a bitch.
We're about, yeah. I beg. Okay,
beg.
You're begging for it right now, right? So then he says this to me, and I'm about to launch into a speech about how that is some of the most unacceptable shit I have ever heard.
Good.
And at this moment, he takes a bite into a meatball and it falls off his fork and rolls down the full front of his white shirt. And I couldn't speak for 5 minutes because I was scream laughing so fucking hard. I have never had a harder turnaround in my life like that. And he just looks at his shirt and he goes, well, I guess I deserve this. And I was like, you're fucking right, you do.
Wow.
Woo!
God is a woman. Wow.
God is a woman. Holy fuck.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
fuck
no,
that
it
guy.
Made me feel. Fuck yeah. That guy. Oh, yes. Well, we are obviously well, yes. no longer dating. I mean, but yeah, you know. one of my all time favorite things. It sucks that I had to hear that, but it was awesome. The return. Yeah. Perfection. No, no notes.
Beautiful loved message from the universe.
Anyway, guys, as always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing. Rachel, anything you want to promote? Social medias?
Yes, you can follow me at rmancella on Instagram. You can follow me at Rachel Manson Comedy on TikTok. I hate it, but I'm there. You can. I'm going to be doing a series in the summer in Toronto at Hot Docs for. Called Where Comedians Get High and Watch Hallmark Movies.
Yeah,
hey,
check that out. That'll be
hell
super
yeah.
fun.
That's
hell
awesome.
Yeah. Excellent. And yeah, and you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy, Facebook, Twitter, craigfaye.com for show dates.
And guys, next week we are going to be talking about the highly requested movie, Waiting. Super fun episode. Look forward to that. And this is The Villain Was Right reminding you not to be an amazing Amy, be a bitchy Becky.
Yes!
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.